My name is Jeff Archie, and thank you for joining us once again on this broadcast. As mentioned, the hymn, "How Shall the Young Secure Their Hearts and Guard Their Lives from Sin? Thy Word the choicest rules imparts to keep the conscience clean. Thy Word is everlasting truth. How pure is every page. That holy book shall guide our youth and well support our age. Indeed it will." Let us consider for the next few moments, how shall the young secure their hearts? Number one, I submit to you that the young shall secure their hearts with a good home life. If our boys and girls see their parents emulating and being an imitator of Christ, then it is easier for the home to be as God would have it. 1 Corinthians 11:1, Paul said, "Be ye followers of me as I also am of Christ." And our boys and girls need to see Christ in their homes. Jesus said in Matthew 22, beginning with verse 37, that we are to love the Lord our God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. There is nothing left when you give all that to God. And in Matthew 6:33, we are reminded to seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Obviously, we must ask the question, are our homes set forth for Christ? As we think in the Old Testament, it's what God commanded. In Deuteronomy 11 and verse 18, "Therefore shall ye lay up these my words in your heart and in your soul, and bind them for a sign upon your hand, that they may be as frontlets between your eyes. And ye shall teach them your children, speaking of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. And thou shalt write them upon the doorpost of thine house and upon thy gates, that your days may be multiplied in the days of your children in the land which the Lord sware unto your fathers to give them, as the days of heaven upon the earth." In the Old Testament, it was very clear what God commanded. And even in the New Testament, when we see in Ephesians 6 and verse 4, "And you fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord." And in Titus 2, beginning with verse 2 through 8, we see how the aged women should teach the younger women to love their husbands, to love their children. What better pattern can a younger woman learn than to look at her mother? And how young men should have that sound speech that's not condemned, verses 6 through 8, but they must look unto aged men to learn too. Here is something that I find interesting in the homes of America. The majority of homes have a father sitting at home on Sunday morning while a mother is taking her children to Bible school and worship. Dear Dad, let me ask you a question. If you're hearing this broadcast and you're not at worship with your wife and children, would you not agree that that would be a small price to pay with great benefits if you did so? Would you not agree that your soul is in jeopardy and you need to make things right? Oh, dear friends, you may get upset about that thought, but may I encourage you, God put a charge in your life, and as you expect your children to obey you, God expects you to obey Him. Several years ago, I read an interesting survey. If two individuals, a husband and wife, a mom and dad, attended church faithfully and their children attended church faithfully and they were involved in various works in the church, there's a 93% chance that those children would grow up and be faithful. In the situation where both parents were just moderately faithful, you know, they pretty well attended, but that was it, that figure drops to 73%. In some cases where one spouse goes and the other one doesn't and the children go with one parent, it's a 53% retention rate. But get this, where neither parent had interest in God, did not go to worship or Bible study, there's a 6% chance those children will hold to it faithfully. You see, my friends, God intended for moms and dads to lead the way. Moms and dads, it starts with you. Securing your child's heart depends much upon your example and direction. It is well to note that as you follow God, the chances are strong they will also. Secondly, the young shall secure their hearts with respect. You know, everyone wants to be respected and appreciated, especially our teenagers. We are overjoyed in their growth and respect their intelligence, their ability, their stamina, and yes, even their friendliness. Some of the greatest young people I know attend where I preach, at the Eastside Church of Christ. We joy in growth and respect them. I just am amazed how they have matured and grown over the past few years, and just to watch them is indeed a joy. They are some of my dearest friends. But you know, as far as respect, regrettably, some are willing to do other things to attain that respect. Some will want to rebel against and lie to their parents to show toughness, but this actually will make you weaker. As I encourage young people, never, ever, ever lie to your parents. You can destroy trust that's very hard to build back. Some are willing to earn respect by pushing smaller ones around to show strength. Some are willing to earn respect to curse and speak loudly to show their so-called power. But if young people desire respect, number one, they must grant respect. Matthew 7 and verse 12 is known as the golden rule, as we say, to do unto others as you would have them to do unto you. We must gain respect as a Christian. It is interesting to note that Colossians 4:6 reminds us to let our speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that we may know how we ought to answer every man. And in Titus 2 and verse 8, how we should have sound speech that cannot be condemned, that he that is of the contrary part may be ashamed, having no evil thing to say of you. Quite obviously, we need to understand and treat, and our boys and girls need to have that respect. It is amazing to me that there are times that I will shake hands with a young man who doesn't have a very good handshake. And I have taken young men and taught them how to shake hands, how that's a presentation of respect and gratitude. It is amazing how you will speak sometimes to even teenagers and they refuse to speak back. My friends, what happened to simple respect? Respect for authority that is sorely needed. You know, I grew up in an era that if you got a, as we used to say, if you got a whipping at school, you got one when you got home. But that seems to have gone the way of the caveman. It is amazing to me, as the situation, and just to use the phrase, gone the way of the caveman is just an expression, but for you and I to stop and think for a moment of that authority. And then when a parent or an individual with authority rebukes a child, the parent many times takes the side of the child. My friend, you will regret that if you do it. Our young people need to show respect, but first we need to also respect them for who they are. I remember talking with our teens before, and I said, "What are some things that bother you?" They said, "We would like to be heard, and that if there is a problem, we'd like for you to hear both sides of the story and not just hear one side." Quite obviously, they felt disrespected. I think of a story in the book of Acts chapter 23, verses 12 through 22, concerning Paul's nephew and the respect that he was shown. That story is worthy to be read from Acts 23, and I'll be reading beginning with verse 12. Of this beautiful story, when it was day, certain of the Jews banded together and bound themselves under a curse, saying that they would neither eat nor drink till they had killed Paul. And they were more than 40 which had made this conspiracy. And they came with the chief priests and elders and said, "We have bound ourselves under a great curse, or an oath, that we will eat nothing until we have slain Paul. Now therefore ye with the council signify to the chief captain that he bring him down on you tomorrow, as though you would inquire something more perfectly concerning him, and we, or ever he come near, are ready to kill him." And when Paul's sister's son heard of their lying in wait, he went and entered into the castle and told Paul. Then Paul called one of the centurions unto him and said, "Bring this young man unto the chief captain, for he hath a certain thing to tell him." So he took him and brought him to the chief captain and said, "Paul the prisoner called me unto him and prayed me to bring this young man unto thee who hath something to say unto thee." Then the chief captain took him by the hand and went with him aside privately and asked him, "What is it you have to tell me?" And he said, "The Jews have agreed to desire thee that thou wouldest bring down Paul tomorrow into the council, as though they would inquire somewhat of him more perfectly. But do not thou yield unto them, for they lie in wait for him of them more than 40 men, which have bound themselves with an oath that they will neither eat nor drink till they have killed him, and now are they ready looking for a promise from thee. So the chief captain then let the young man depart and charged him, See thou tell no man that thou hast showed these things to me. Notice the respect that this chief captain showed to Paul's nephew. He listened intently to what was going on and he knew what to do. And quite obviously, Paul was delivered very carefully. And so, as we see, our young people need to learn respect, but we need to grant them respect and hear what they have to say. That's one way how the young shall secure their hearts. Number three, the young shall secure their hearts with good choices. We guide our children to make the right choices, and we desire them to do the right thing. I encourage our teenagers that I have the privilege of teaching that the decisions that you make today will respond for good decisions in the future. You may make a decision today that may not have the repercussion immediately, but in years to come, by doing the right thing now, you'll be blessed greatly down the road. Biblically speaking, as a pattern, let's think about those that made the right choices. Jesus made a good choice, a right choice, as he said in Luke 2, verse 49, How is it that you sought me? Wist ye not, or know ye not, that I must be about my Father's business? Do you know that I must be about my Father's business? Wouldn't it be great to hear children today, even teenagers as they get older, I'm about the Father's business. I want to serve in the Lord's kingdom. I want to serve now. Josiah, the king, was a youth about the Father's business. 2 Kings 22, verses 1 and 2. Josiah, as you watch him mature as a young man, grew in his faith in God and stood firm. Timothy was a youth that was about the Father's business. 2 Timothy 3:15 tells us that from a child he had learned or knew the Holy Scriptures which were able to make him wise unto salvation. Yes, my friends, Timothy was about the Father's business. And when we think of the choice that Solomon through inspiration taught when he said in Ecclesiastes 12:1, Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth. Our boys and girls, when they learn something of a young age, they're able to grow and nurture it and develop it and be what God would have them to be. Think with me for a moment. You ever notice how smart children are with computers? I know a lot of adults that will go get a young child to help them understand the computer. My friends, if they can understand computers, they can understand things about Jesus Christ and grow in that nurture and admonition of the Lord. Again, Ephesians 6:4. And to grow in the grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. 2 Peter 3:18. Do we have young people that desire to be about the Father's business? We need to nurture that and teach it. It is tragic that we see such sad news of the choices that young people make with drugs and alcohol and unwanted pregnancies and things of that nature. But my friends, there are, if you'll allow me to use an expression from the Old Testament, there are 7,000 out there that have not bowed the knee to Baal. There are young people who want to make their lives great. They want to make their lives good. And we need to encourage and move them onward. Choices. We must all make the right choice. With our youth, will they have secure hearts in the proper home? Dear friend, how is your home? Is it geared toward Christ? If not, we can help you. Are they making the proper choices with respect and the proper choices to right choices regardless of age? My friends, you have a choice today. Joshua in Joshua 24:15 made a declaration for them to serve his Lord. My friend, you can today by moving on your faith, repenting of your sins, confessing Jesus as the Son of God, being buried with him in baptism. You are raised to walk in a newness of life, and you are a Christian and can begin to lead your house or influence your house. It is our prayer that the young will secure their hearts.